Willie Colgate, Colgate presents Bill Stern.
With the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, the story's rare. Take his advice and you'll look keen. You'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate priceless fan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern speaking from the city of Pittsburgh. We're in Pittsburgh to broadcast tomorrow's Pittsburgh-Illinois football game. But right now, we're ready to bring you the 359th edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel, featuring strange and fantastic stories. Some that are legends, others mere hearsay. But also interesting, we'd like to pass them along to you. Our guest tonight is the famous syndicated columnist, Drew Pearson. But before we bring you Drew Pearson in person, let's begin with Reel 1. Portrait of Justice. Tonight, as you know, we're broadcasting from the city of Pittsburgh. And here in Pittsburgh, many, many years ago, one of the greatest of all baseball stories began. A story that's become legendary down through the years. A story that has one of the strangest endings I've ever heard. But let me begin this story as it was told to me. Back many years ago, the Pittsburgh Pirates had an old center fielder by the name of Cy Wilkins. He was just about all washed up, and he knew it. But he dreaded the day when a new center fielder would be hired to take his place. And one day, the old-timer's fears came true. For on that day, a new center fielder was hired to take his place. This new center fielder was a young rookie named Ted Daly. Ted Daly was a quiet, shy, pink-cheeked country boy. Immediately, the old-timer knew that he'd lose his job to the young rookie unless he could make life so miserable for that rookie that the rookie would quit. And so the veteran center fielder, seeing the young rookie's pink cheeks, decided to humiliate him by nicknaming him Gertie. And every time the young rookie would come out on the playing field, the veteran center fielder would yell, "Oh, Gertie! Gertie! Got a date tonight, Gertie?" It got so bad that one day, much to the young rookie's embarrassment, the veteran center fielder ran up to the young rookie and planted a kiss on his cheeks, saying, "Hey, fellas, look at Gertie." Not for a moment did this veteran let up on the rookie. Always it was Gertie, Gertie, Gertie this and Gertie that, until soon the young rookie's confidence began to leave him. He became despondent, gloomy. His playing fell off until one day the young rookie just quietly packed his bags and slipped away without saying goodbye to anyone. The veteran outfielder had driven the young rookie right out of baseball. That all happened over 30 years ago. The years have passed since then. But one day not so long ago, according to the story, a strange scene took place in a Texas courtroom. Before a stern-faced judge, a ragged bum stood at the bar of justice, charged with vagrancy and attempting to crash his way into the local baseball park.
You've heard the charges. How do you plead?
Guilty, Your Honor.
Oh, take a look at yourself. Don't you think you might be better off if you went looking for a job instead of trying to sneak into a baseball park?
Your Honor, I wanted to see that ball game, and I had no money. I thought it might make me forget I'm a bum. You see, once I was a ball player myself.
Well, you certainly don't look like it now.
Sure, Judge, I don't blame you for doubting me. But once I was a young rookie trying out with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I might have made the team, too, if it hadn't been for one player on that team. I never knew what he had against me, but he gave me such a brutal tongue-lashing, he drove me right out of baseball. Never amounted to much after that, I guess.
Step a little closer. I want to take a good look at you.
Mm-hmm.
The court recognizes your story to be true. And furthermore, this court wants to go on record as saying that if anyone is guilty in this case, it's the man who drove you out of baseball. That nickname, Gertie, was cruel and inhuman.
But, Judge, how'd you know that Gertie was my nickname? I haven't mentioned it to a soul for 30 years.
I know, because it's been on my conscience for all these years. You see, I was that thoughtless ball player who drove you out of baseball. Case dismissed.
Profile of Justice. Reel 3. Profile of Famous Rivalries. There have been some great rivalries in our histories, but because most of these famous rivalries from history took place so many years ago, it's hard to say whether they actually took place at all. But because these stories are so intensely interesting, we'd like to pass them along to you, for this is a story of these rivalries, rivalries that became famous and made history. Many years ago, two young boys were growing up in a small town in New York State. The bigger one of these two boys was inclined to be a bit of a bully. He was forever picking a fight with a smaller boy who didn't like sports and didn't want to fight. The bigger boy grew up. He grew up, yeah, but not to be a prize fighter. No, he grew up to be a writer, a great writer.
for it was he who wrote the famous book, The Last of the Mohicans, for his name was James Fenimore Cooper. But what about his opponent, that smaller boy, the boy who didn't like the fight, the smaller boy who didn't like fights? Well, that boy started one of history's most famous fights, for it was he who fired the first shot for the North in the Civil War. But he's not remembered for that. No, this smaller boy, who as a youngster was too small for sports, is famous because it was he who invented the nation's most popular sport, the game of baseball. For his name was Abner Doubleday. And that's the story of two rivals from Cooperstown, New York. The bigger of the two, who was the bully, and yet gave up fighting for writing, and the other who hated fighting and yet started this nation's biggest fight and invented this nation's most popular sport. But there have been many famous rivalries that started with fights. For not too many years ago, in a small Midwestern town, two young boys also engaged in a famous fight. According to the story in Coronet magazine, they fought a bitter fight. But these rivals became great friends afterwards. For one of those boys was the immortal football coach Newt Rockne. And his opponent in that boxing match years ago was our great general, Dwight Eisenhower. But it isn't only the sport of prize fighting that started great rivalries. Other sports have started rivalries, too. For almost 100 years ago in Boston, two boys who were exactly the same age became great bicycle racers. And one of these boys, according to the story, won the New England Bicycle Championship, while the other won the Middle Atlantic States Championship. They were the two best bike riders of their day, and they often raced each other. Only their rivalry was to last all their lives. For these two rival bike racers became America's greatest rival inventors. One was Alexander Graham Bell. He invented the telephone. And the other was Thomas Edison, who invented the electric light. But speaking of great rivalries coming from the sport of bicycle racing, let me tell you the story of two other great bike racers who came later. One was named Harry Decker, and the other bike racer was named Billy Jerome. These two raced in New Jersey just before the turn of the century, and they too were great riders. That is, they were until one day when these two were racing for the Eastern Championship of the United States, when suddenly their bicycles crashed into each other, and these two wound up in a hospital. As these two former bike racers lay side by side in that hospital, they became friends. And after becoming friends, they found that they had an interest in common, a common interest in music. And in that hospital, when they found out that they both loved music together they collaborated on a song. Strangest, the two bike riders should be bitter rivals, and yet, even though they were bitter bike rivals, they should write a song together. And yet it's even stranger when you realize that these two bike riders, who only wrote this song thanks to an accident that put them in a hospital after a bike race, should make musical history, for ironically enough, they named their song On a Bicycle Built for Two. Yeah.
On a bicycle built for two.
Profile of a famous song. Reel four. Since we're broadcasting tonight from the city of Pittsburgh, and our guest Drew Pearson is in Washington, we're going to switch to Washington in just a moment to pick him up. Drew Pearson's daily column appears in hundreds of newspapers from coast to coast. So, without any further ado, in order to bring you Drew Pearson in person, this is Bill Stern switching you from where I'm standing in Pittsburgh. The next voice you hear will be the famous syndicated columnist Drew Pearson speaking from Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Bill Stern. Now, this is a sports program, and since I'm a reporter of the nation's affairs, it might be well tonight if I compare the principles of good citizenship with the principles of good sportsmanship. Both state that every man is to be given an equal chance. And in sportsmanship, every man is given an equal chance, regardless of race, color, or creed. For example, a colored boy, Joe Louis, is our heavyweight boxing champion. An Italian boy, Joe DiMaggio, is our leading baseball player. So you see what I mean when I say that in sports, every man is given an equal chance. This is Drew Pearson in Washington, D.C., returning you now to Bill Stern in Pittsburgh.
You are so right. Thanks so much. Good luck and good night, Drew Pearson. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the 3-0 mark for tonight. We've been broadcasting tonight from the city of Pittsburgh, getting ready to broadcast tomorrow's Pittsburgh-Illinois football game. Next Friday evening, we'll be broadcasting from Chicago. As each weekend this fall, we'll be in whichever city has the nation's biggest football game, getting ready to broadcast that game. And until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreel at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good, good night from Pittsburgh.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Chapin Man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate Chapin Man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports, heroes, the inside dope. He really knows, so listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
The